Listen, people, dear people, brothers and sisters, I'm not a scientist, okay? And this is the armor that I'm wearing today is not, I'm not coming here as a creation, you know, specialist. But I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor who's, and in the years that I did pastor when in like Big Bear, California, other places, we had a lot of experts come in, including Ken Ham and some of the people that are very, very well-known scientists. And I've heard them and I've heard their arguments over and over again. And I've come to be very, very comfortable with the fact that we can trust creationism and evolution does not have any legs to walk on. Evolution is pseudo-science. In 1 Timothy 6:20, you don't need to turn to it, it says in the King James Version, 1 Timothy 6:20, beware of science falsely called. Beware of science falsely called. Just because a guy puts on a white coat and holds up a test tube doesn't make it so. Satan is the god of this planet. He's the god, the prince of the power of the air, of the lower atmosphere. And just as we said last week, there are false religions, there's also false science. I'm not saying all science is bad. Don't misunderstand me. Science has done some remarkably good things. And men of integrity, it's in the little book you can. I'm offering to you today to take home. And that men like Louis Pasteur and others, great scientists, Mendel and guys like that, have done great things for that have benefited humanity. So, again. If I'm a little disorganized in this presentation today, would you give grace to your pastor? It's been a big week. But I'm going to do my best to just kind of make us think about what's going on here. So I'm going to start off with some scripture. That's a good thing. Let's begin in our Bibles this morning by going to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, preview of next week. See if you can find Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I think all of you know Genesis. I'm going to be reading Genesis later on. Genesis 1:1, does everybody know that verse, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I wanted to show you some other verses besides that. And I think these are just verses about God creating things, the world. It says, in the past, God spoke to us, to our forefathers, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And we're going to teach on that next week. But notice that the Bible declares that Jesus made the universe. God made the universe. And His name is Jesus, and through His Son Jesus, He created the universe. That is what is declared here in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews while you're there. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 through 3. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. In other words, it was an invisible God who made a visible world. And by faith, we believe that. We're here. How did we get here? Somebody made us. I know that I'm here. I'm observable. What's the explanation for my being here? You have two choices primarily. You can either believe evolution, which we'll talk about a little bit, that there was a big bang and some gases exploded and all this over billions and billions of years that you're an accident. And I don't know where those gases came from in the first place, by the way. Or you can believe that you have a creator, that you were made in the image of God by a God who formed the universe. The Bible declares who that creator is. The Bible reveals who that creator is. Most of us know it already, but turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then you go down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is declared again to be the creator of heaven and earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and through him all things were created, the Bible declares. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. These scriptures are on your green outline, but we're just looking at them, and you can keep your green outline in your Bible and refer to them again on your own. Colossians 1, verse 15. Referring to Jesus Christ, it says, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16 of Colossians 1. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So notice that Jesus is the creator of all things, and all things are held together by him. Even the atom, the proton, neutron, electron, which they don't understand why it doesn't come apart, by the way, scientifically. It's held together by God, by Jesus Christ, who created it and holds it together. God is holding this world literally. He's got the whole world in his hand, okay, as we sing. Now, again, just to stick to the outline, the brief history of evolution, it's in this book. There are references. This is the age of the internet. You can dig it up yourself. There were, as I said, some outstanding scientists doing outstanding things that were believers. Most of the scientists of old were believers in God. Louis Pasteur is one, Mendel is another, Newton is another, and so forth. And there's a whole list of outstanding scientists making discoveries. Darwin came along in 1859. He wrote The Origin of the Species. Darwin spent some time in the Galapagos Islands, and he kind of conjectured that the one thing became the other thing. He was a naturalist. He wasn't even really a scientist. He got hired as a naturalist. And he conjectured that maybe this was that, and that species could change form, okay? That they could change form. And, you know, when we were children, in my generation, we would actually have in the classroom, you've seen this classic little chart where, you know, it's a little tadpole, and pretty soon it's a little monkey, and it's coming up like this, and then it's you. Have you seen those charts? And because, again, as the thing just said, a picture is just a picture. But if that's thrown in front of you all the time and put into textbooks, which it is today, you come to believe that it's real. You come to believe, and there are guys like Huxley and John Dewey that became disciples of this teaching of Darwin, and they were just devout atheists is what they were, and they didn't want God on the scene, and so they influenced our education system, and that happened relatively recently. And actually, the Scopes trial that took place in 1925 was actually something that was promoted by the ACLU. The ACLU decided to find a teacher and have him teach evolution so they could then take to court the school system. Actually, the guy John Scopes never even taught evolution, but they came up with a trial in which they could mock Christianity, and that's what they wanted to do. They wanted the law of the land to be such that evolution found its way in and the door opened wide. And so it's the evil one, folks. And guys like Karl Marx and Engels, And H.G. Wells and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, George Bernard Shaw, they became followers of this theory of Darwin, a theory that he himself had doubts about. The theory that there are species are changing from one species to another. And there's a lot of fraudulent cases, by the way, along the way, like the 1912 Piltdown man, where they actually found a fossil and admitted later that it was a hoax. They'd filed its teeth down. So the history of Darwinism is relatively recent. Think about that. And yet, isn't it amazing? Isn't it stunning to you that the world believes it? The world believes evolution. And the people in prestigious universities like Berkeley believe it. And they're educated people. They're people that have got degrees, and it's very intimidating. Wait a minute, he's been going to school for 9 years, you know, and I've been going to school for 4 years. It doesn't matter. The truth is not on their side, folks. The truth is on ours. And as you begin to get information like that 3-minute video we saw, you'll find it's actually very, you have no reason to be intimidated by evolution. Historically, the church, when Darwinism was first popular in the late 1800s, the church began to go, oh, wow, well, if scientists are saying so, we'll just accommodate our Bible to science. And so they began to teach a lot of things like, for example, theistic evolution. Yeah, maybe God created it, but maybe he created it using an evolutionary process. I don't think so. I think there's a million problems with that. A lot of serious problems. Because then you're saying Adam and Eve are not literal. And in each of the 7 days that God created the world were actually just, they could be periods of time. And pretty soon you're into billions of years and billions of years. And it's all because of things like the evolutionists claiming, for example, that carbon dating can tell you how old things are. Carbon dating has been proven to be faulty. They didn't even use radiocarbon dating until 1946. Also, the Big Bang hypothesis wasn't even popular until 1948. All this stuff has come recently. Now, major flaws in evolution. I was a debater when I was in college, okay? I went to USC. Go Trojans, all right? And I actually had a scholarship. It was kind of fun. I liked debate. I was privileged to do it. Didn't have the Lord. My life needed the Lord. But as a debater, we would have the affirmative and we would have the negative and we would discuss, they would give us an issue and we would compete for trophies, okay? If a case was presented that wasn't believable at all, we would call it a non prima facie. That would mean in Latin, not believable. It's not a believable thing. Evolution, as on the face of it, is not believable. They want you to believe that something came from nothing. The first law of biogenesis teaches that only life can create life. And I think the two things up here about the second thing about the genetic code can't become more complicated. That's why the Bible says that each thing produces after its own kind. The second law of thermodynamics teaches us that when one life form changes to another, when energy form changes to another energy form, I should say, the matter moves to a lower form, not a higher. So evolution wants you to believe it's going in this direction. Thirdly, this is an important one to me. There are no intermediary fossils. Where are the fossils that would show us first, it's not observable, first of all. If we came from apes, where is the ape that's becoming a man right now? How come we're not seeing an ape man walking around? It should be observable if it's true. If it is fact, I'm dry mouthed here. It should be something that we could observe. But there's no observable. But they've taken the, what do you call it? What kind of fly am I thinking of? The fruit fly. Yes. Fruit flies only live for a few minutes, I think. They have a very short life. So they've been able to observe thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of life periods of the fruit fly. It's still a fruit fly. It never changed. It didn't become a horse fly. It's still a fruit fly. And so evolution is not observable. And you have no fossils which show the cat becoming a dog. Cats produce cats and dogs produce dogs. And if you actually took all of the fossils that they claim are legitimate fossils, because there's been a whole bunch of phony ones that ended up just being, you know, a man with arthritis or something, and you could put all those fossils on one table, and you could arrange them any different way you want to arrange them, they don't prove evolution. Fossils, by the way, were actually caused by the flood of Noah. The flood of Noah, the force of the water, is what produced the fossils. The great flood, the sudden death of various creatures, is what produces the fossil. And that is why they found some of the things that they found. And it takes that force to produce the fossil. Fossils are not being produced today. We don't have any fossils of the American buffalo. You can't find one. Because the fossils were produced during the, you know, they should be. If fossils were produced naturally, we'd have buffalo fossils all over America. But that's not how it happened. And so the fossils are evidence of the flood. Also, one of the great lies is that the geologic column, they say, if you look at the geologic column, the dinosaur bones are down here, and then the bones here, and then working your way up finally to our. But the geologic column doesn't show that. Actually, the geologic column shows that in Fosse, Texas, they found dinosaur footprints over human footprints, and vice versa. They found a coexistence. And you say, well, what about the dinosaurs? And of course, I'm not a scientist, but it's very reasonable. Dr. Henry Morris, in his book, The Genesis Record, that's a good book, by the way. He's one of the founders of Creation Research Institute, CRI. And you can type on your internet, Creation Research Institute, and they've got some great books and some great resources. And we're talking about doctors and scientists and other scientists and other scientists. These are not just wild-eyed fundamentalist Bible guys. They're scientists. And they will tell you that the evidence is on your side, people. The evidence that we don't need to be in any way intimidated by evolution. I realize we need to speak in love. I'm not suggesting you go out and become a harsh person about it. But you don't have to be intimidated by the lie of, because the geologic column actually shows that the fossils, man coexisted from the beginning. I believe that the dinosaurs could very well have gone on the ark. This is what Dr. Henry Morris suggests, on the ark with Noah. Baby dinosaurs, by the way, the ark itself was as big as a battleship, a current modern-day battleship. The cubic space on the ark easily is enough for all of the animals and the world, species in the world. That's been demonstrated. The cubic space is easily could have taken on all the animals. It's after the ark, which I believe happened, the flood about 5,000 years ago, the earth was covered with a firmament, and there are many that think that what happened is the firmament produced a blockage of the harmful ozone layer, and also produced a hyperbaric condition, by the way. And the result was that life expectancy was much longer before the flood and much shorter after the flood. And dinosaurs would not have been able to survive the post-flood conditions. And there are some on the radical end that would suggest that there were dinosaur-like creatures on the earth later than we think. And that the science, for example, the Chinese tradition of dragons, the idea of a large creature that would have the combustible chamber, it may be good science, because there's the bombardier beetle, which does have a combustion chamber and the ability to produce fire. So it's not unreasonable that creatures like that would have existed. And if you want to get really weird, you can get into the Loch Ness Monster, and I don't go that far. But I'm just suggesting to you that, I'm going to trip over the wire. I'm suggesting to you that the dinosaurs could probably fade out after the thing. They did not demand the billions of years that they claim. And that takes us to the next point, that is, there is reason to believe a young earth. Now, let me be clear. A lot of Christians don't. I know fellow pastors that believe, they still believe the longer periods of time, and that's fine. You have to do your own research and come to your own conclusion. For me, your pastor who stands before you, what I believe, and I'm a young earth creationist. It's interesting to me to look at, they say, for example, the Barrier Reef in Australia, the Grand Canyon. These things are the result of a flood. And the Barrier Reef, you can actually sort of figure out, was about 5,000 years ago that it was formed. And the flood would have caused these things. There are some various scientists who actually tried to calculate the age of the Earth. Bishop Usher famously came up with 4,004 B.C. Josephus came up with 5555. I don't know how he got that. Luther came up with the year 3961 B.C. I am not at all uncomfortable with the idea of a young earth, an earth that is 6,000 or 7,000 years old. Now, people will laugh at you if you say that, so you don't have to, but I'm willing to go on record with it. I find that it's the evolutionary lie that is laughable. The billions of years are not demonstrable to us. And that's what they say they need. Basically, the theory is that if you have enough billions of years, you're going to, one thing's going to become more, and it just does. There's so many things, so much I'm not covering right now. So much I am not competent to cover. Our complex DNA, our reproductive systems, the human eye. There are a whole bunch of scientific reasons to know these things could not possibly have evolved. It's impossible. And let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll talk from there about creation this morning. That way you get another chapter in the Word of God. I know we as a church did the book of Genesis some time ago, but let's just remember Genesis chapter 1 this morning. If you reject Genesis chapter 1, then you reject the whole Bible. You know why? Because Jesus quoted from Genesis himself 6 different times. There are 165 passages in the New Testament that refer back to Genesis. So if you're going to throw out Genesis, you might as well throw out your faith. That's the problem with rejecting the divine authority of the book of Genesis. You're then beginning to reject the Bible. If Adam and Eve were only an allegory and just kind of a typology, then what else in the Bible is only an allegory? And pretty soon, it doesn't mean anything. It's a meaningless book. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is divinely inspired by God. It is a book that has great credentials, and every word, the word of God is flawless, purified 7 times. And here's what it says in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. It's an interesting name for God. It's a plural name. It isn't El singular or El a dual, it's Elohim. In the beginning, God. And it is a God that can mean, a word that can mean God's plural, but it means one God with 3 persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Later in Genesis 2:8, but the Lord God made man in the garden is Jehovah Elohim. And he's thereafter known as Jehovah I Am. So Elohim is his name, and then Jehovah Elohim. In the beginning, God created. Now, this word for created is the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A. And it means God made something out of nothing. You and I can make things. Man can make things. We can form things. You can make a car. You can form a cabinet. But only God created. Only God spoke matter into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the water was hovering over, the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, "Let there be light." Between verse 2 and 3, there's a theory that some people like. It's called the gap theory. They say they like to teach. I don't mean to confuse this morning. I'm trying to be helpful. They like to teach that that word was mean became. The earth became formless. And so they say, okay, here's what happened. There was this period of time where the dinosaurs and all that existed and they were dying. And then eventually God formed Adam and Eve. There's a lot of problems with that. And they do that because they think that they're intimidated by the assertion of billions of years, which is not provable at all. And there's problems with that because the Bible declares in Romans 5:12 that death came into the world through Adam. Sin entered through Adam and death through Adam. It's also affirmed in 1 Corinthians 15. The first man, Adam, was a sinner. So if you have dinosaurs dying before Adam dies, then it's anti-biblical. Death came into the world through Adam. There's no predated death. Adam and Eve were not made in the Garden of Eden with fossils underneath it. I mean, would God have then said, and it was very good. All it took a few billion years of people dying and evolving, and it was very good. And there's a bunch of death underneath your feet. That's not what the Garden of Eden was. Death initially came. So there is no, I reject any gap theories or whatever. The word was, by the way, means was. The earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. One of the arguments of an evolutionist is the stars that we see are billions and billions of years. They're billions of miles away. And so the light to travel here, even at the speed of light, would take billions of years. So how could we be seeing that light? Well, if God creates the light first and then makes the star afterwards, that would be a simple answer to that. The first thing that's spoken here is, "Let there be light." And God saw the light was good. And he makes the stars later. So let's just read on. Oh, and by the way, they talk about whether these are literal days. Each time it says there was day and there was morning and there was night the first day. And the word yom, Y-O-M, is that literally a day or is that a symbolic day? A day is 1,000 years. Even if a day was 1,000 years, you'd only be 7,000. You wouldn't be 7 billion or 70 billion. But what's in view here is a literal day. God made the world in 6 literal days. And on the 7th literal day, he rested. And so verse 6. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." And so God made the expanse and separated the water from under the expanse and the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. Notice, an apple seed produces an apple tree. An apple tree does not produce oranges. You need an orange seed to produce an orange tree. God programmed it. Human beings beget human beings. Apes beget apes. Cats beget cats. We've never observed a cat begetting a dog or becoming a dog. And so everything produces after its own kind. Evolution violates that. Evolution claims that species change to other species. It's not observable. There's no fossils that prove it. It is false science. The emperor has no clothes on. Remember I told you that story? So, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God said, let them, God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the, on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky. And so God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. And let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man. That's the Trinity is speaking to himself here. I like that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant. I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested. That work can mean he ceased. He wasn't actually tired from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God says, let us make man in our own image. And he makes them male and female. And you see, there's something today called secular humanism, which is that man should rule the world, and it's a godless, not secular, without God. And so all the teachings that you see of this world and all the thinking that you see of this world puts man in charge, because God is excluded. But and yesterday we had a march of the thousands and thousands of women. And politics aside, there's a lot of secular things in that. You know, it's a world in uproar. It's a world in uproar, you know. And I'm not being political, but it's like we don't like the election results. So we're out on the streets. And we don't want any part of God. And don't tell me I can't abort my baby. And all of that pushback is secular humanism. It's secular humanism. We don't want God in the equation. And the legs upon which it walks are evolution. The legs upon, and if you can realize that evolution is false, they lose a ground to stand on. Because if evolution is a lie, which it is, then there is a God, and we have to give an account to God. We have to answer to him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, because I'm going to stand before him, and so are you. And so he gives Adam and Eve anything to eat that is, they're vegetarians initially. After Noah, they were told, you can eat any meat you want, go. And so man begins to become carnivorous at that point. So I'm okay with eating a steak anytime I want. 165 references from Genesis in the New Testament. So it's important that we realize that Adam and Eve are literal, creation is literal, and that we not be intimidated by the teaching of evolution. Maybe you thought, Pastor, I like it when you do regular Bible studies better. And I do too. You know that? I look forward to just go back to a chapter of the Word. But I think this issue is something we have to be alert to. This is what the world is teaching, and this is what the world is believing. And it hits pretty close to home when your own son says, you know, uh-uh. And he's got a PhD next to his name. And it kind of makes me, if I can be honest with you, it produces in me, I hope it's the right attitude of Christ, but almost a righteous indignation of like, the enemy has so lied to people. And it has threatened our sons and daughters. It has even injured the church. And the church is, oh, okay, well, we don't know. And it is pseudoscience. And the more you study it, the more it is actually laughable. Do you really believe that there was just some gases and a big bang and that Earth just happened to form over here 93 million miles away from the sun and that the temperature was just right so that in this water, that I don't know how the water got there, this primordial soup, this little spontaneous generation, spontaneous, life just, whoop. A little cell and an amoeba and a tadpole. And that little tadpole became a frog. And that little frog started to walk on the ground. And pretty soon it began to stand up straight. And pretty soon it looked like this and it looked like that. And everything evolved from that little soup. About how many billions of years ago? We don't know. 50 billion? 60 billion? 10 billion? 2 billion? We don't know. It's all conjecture. It's all false. Every fossil that is leaky and these guys have ever dug up, it doesn't check out. We found the missing link. Oh, wait a minute. That was a woman with arthritis who had a disease. They don't have it. It's just not there. It's not observable. It is a theory without legs. Now, they're entitled to that theory. Science, you put out a hypothesis and try and prove it. It's not a provable hypothesis. And let me ask you, which is easier for you to believe? Do you believe the Big Bang primordial thing, or do you believe in the beginning God created you? Case closed. Who is his creator? What is his name? His name is Jesus. That's right. That's right. He's not Allah. We covered that last week. That's Muhammad having demonic visions in a cave in the 6th century. Claiming that Gabriel visited him, even though Paul said in the first century, if I or an angel from heaven should produce any other gospel, let him be accursed. There is no other gospel. There is one God and mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And so Genesis is actually a book of beginnings. One author pointed out that all the origins, the origin of the universe is in Genesis, the origin of order and complexity, the origin of the solar system, the origin of atmosphere and the hydrosphere, the origin of life is in Genesis, the origin of man, the origin of marriage is in Genesis, the origin of evil is in Genesis, the origin of language, government, culture, nations, religion, and God's chosen people, the Jews, Israel, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's all found in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all found in the Genesis record. And we embrace it. We believe it. We don't have to modify it. We don't have to cower to the claim of billions of years, which does not stand up. Instead, we can take the Word of God to heart and take it literally. Folks, somebody said that Christians are saboteurs behind enemy lines. What does that mean? It means that when the world is under the lie of Satan. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Not my words. Satan has deceived the planet. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are one of the escaping ones. You are a Christian. The word church means ecclesia, the gathering of those that are called out. You have been called out of this darkness and into the light. Now you are living as aliens and strangers in this world. This is not your home. You go, oh yeah, this fallen thing. And you know, I'm going to vote here. I'm going to do my best to be a good neighbor and all that. But I realize this is not my home. And there are lies of the cults down here, and there are lies of pseudo-false science down here. You don't have to embrace these lies. A lot of things about psychology are false too, by the way. And there's a lot of other false sciences that you have to evaluate. You know, just because Sigmund Freud said that, is that right? Just because Charles Darwin said that, is that right? And so beware of the pseudoscience. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Guys, we are walking in the light, and we're walking in the truth because we know Jesus Christ. We know the creator of heaven and earth. You don't throw away your brain when you become a Christian. You find it. You know, and the Bible checks out, and I'm going to close here. It checks out by history and archaeology. It checks out by manuscript authority. It checks out by prophecy. It checks out by creationism. Bible checks out by any standard that you want to give it. It is a book that is accurate and is fulfilled. And so your faith is built on good science, not bad. In fact, the Bible's got some science in it. You know, in the book of Job, it says he suspends the earth over nothing. And scientists didn't know that until much later. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is convincing evidence of creation. And Lord, we believe your word. By faith, we believe that what was visible is created by he who is invisible. And Lord, we believe that you created Adam, you created Eve, you created us. And we worship you, Lord. We, as it says in Revelation, thou art worthy, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. And I pray that we, your people, your children, all of us, we would walk in the truth and not be intimidated by false cults or by false science. And I pray for spiritual health for all of the sheep of CIF and all who have heard my voice today. I pray for spiritual health. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. Help us to press in our faith and become mature. Help us to build our Christian libraries and to be readers of the Bible every day. Because, Lord, the world is full of so many lies. Help us to stay close to you in the shadow of your wing. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We take refuge, Lord. We agree that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are kept safe. Thank you, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want a free book? Right here, a free book. Don't forget it. Yeah, right up here. 1, 2, 3. After church, after we get the tier.